Encuentro Radio es periodismo, derechos, igualdad, dignidad, mujeres, inclusión, masculinidad, arte, expresión, libertad, esperanza, cultura, ecumenismo, literatura, historia y análisis. Pero en realidad somos una gran familia. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas a Encuentro Radio. Comunícate con nosotros a través de nuestro WhatsApp 302-521-2342. Aquí comienza un programa de Encuentro Radio. From Colombia,
the Philippines,
the United States,
Germany,
Kenya,
Austria,
the United Kingdom,
Zimbabwe.
We're bringing our voices together to reflect on gender and social justice.
A multicultural look in the mirror at our society.
Welcome to Mirrored Voices, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Colombian time.
Two, three, four. Brought to you by CEPALC and Encuentro Radio. Yay, we have a new intro.
Yay, I love it because it says Zimbabwe.
Yes.
Finally.
We finally have Michelle's voice included on our cabezote, on our intro. Welcome back to another season of Mirrored Voices.
Thank you, Hannah. Welcome to. It's always a pleasure to be here with you, even though today we don't have Mariana.
Yeah, we'll miss Mariana this season. For now, you're stuck with the two of us, I guess. So this is our first program for the year so far. 2025, how has it been for you, Michelle?
It's been interesting.
Can you move? Yeah, a little bit closer to the mic, I think.
Okay.
Thank you.
Interesting. I feel like it's bittersweet because I'm aware that I have like a little time left in Colombia, and also, I mean, I'm excited to make the most of the remainder of my term.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, I went back to the gym. It's a gym that is close to my place, so it was like kind of weird being new.
Getting back into routine.
And, you know, yeah, that sort of thing. But yeah, how about you, Hannah?
Pretty good. Yeah, 2025 now. I was able to go to the U.S. to visit my family for Christmas and New Year's and bring Andres with me. So that was fun.
I can imagine.
2025 has been kind of a rough start with our new president in the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
Our new old president. and we'll be talking a little bit about that and how it affects our topic for today.
Cool.
But before we start, do you have any, like, New Year's resolutions? Is that something that you do? Do you have any ideas of, like, what you want to achieve this year?
I did have resolutions, and I already completed one of them, which was to travel on my own, like, at a different city, and also climb the rock thingy in Medellin. I think it's called Pierna de Peñol. So, because it's, like, 800 stairs.
Wow, so that's a lot.
I did that.
Nice.
I mean, it was tiring, but I enjoyed it. And I guess what's left on my list is probably travel a bit more and also look into where I want to go next, like after Colombia. So it's like traveling mostly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How about you? Did you have resolutions?
I would like to obviously learn more about dog training.
No.
I mean, Choco's very well behaved, but I would like to learn more. I think I'll continue with my last year's resolution of, like, trying to, I'm not sure how to phrase it more succinctly, more like in a shorter way, but I was trying to stop the, like, uncomfortable laughter of just letting inappropriate comments slide and kind of, like, you know, when you kind of do that, like, fake giggle just to get through the conversation and try to be done with it. I was trying to, like, no, if I don't laugh, it makes the situation awkward, which, like, it should be, and then people get a chance to kind of think about, did I really just say that? Did I really mean to say that? Is that really an appropriate thing to say? It was an interesting kind of experiment last year, because sometimes, at least twice, there was a point where someone that I was talking to, seeing that I didn't laugh along, actually did take, like, they were surprised by it and could actually reflect, like, oh yeah, maybe I shouldn't say that. I was like, this is a good idea. So I might try to continue with that. Antidote to my people-pleasing habits of I don't have to agree with everything. I don't have to pretend that I agree with everything.
Oh my god, I feel like I have the same weakness. Because, like, usually when I'm hanging out with people from my African friends, like, there's certain things that are not acceptable in African cultures. So I sort of, like, try to, like, ignore that and act like I'm part of them in that sense. But it was actually one of the things that I loved about Colombia, that people are, like, open-minded and they're open to so many things. But when you're with people from your continent now, if you try to bring that out, it'll be like you're being a traitor or something. So it's like, I think I really need to work on that.
Yeah, and that the reverse culture shock of you spend a significant amount of time out of the country in a different culture. And then going back home often more of a shock to your system than when you first arrive. Because when you first arrive, you're like, you expect it, because you're like, this is, I know I'm going to a different place. And then you go back home and you're like, oh, I'm different. This is the same place, but now I'm different.
I'm so scared of that, because I feel like I've grown in my time here, like, independence-wise, feminism-wise, human-wise, spiritually-wise, and then, like, going back home and, you know, just trying to keep on being the same person. I think it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
It's going to be very difficult for me.
It's difficult, but it means that you've grown, which I think is good.
Yeah, I really love it, especially the fact that now I have, like, different goals from the ones that I had before this experience. I really love that for me, because I realized there were things that I thought were not possible for me, but now I'm more confident to do them.
Yeah. Well, today for our program, we are kicking off our first month. I'm going to play our first song today and then see if people can guess what the theme is.
Cool. Okay.
In a hot, dense state that nearly 14 million years ago expansion started. Wait, the earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall. We built the pyramids, math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a big bang. Hey! Since the dawn of man is really not that long, as every galaxy was formed in less time than it takes to sing this song. A fraction of a second and the elements were made. The bipeds stood up straight, the dinosaurs all met their fate. They tried to leave, but they were late and they all died. They closed their asses off. The oceans in Pangaea, see a wooden bar to be a set in motion by the same Big Bang. It all started with a Big Bang. It's expanding ever outward, but one day it will pause and start to go the other way. Of us debating how we're here, they're catching deer.
We're catching viruses.
Religion or astronomy.
Descartes or Deuteronomy.
It all started with the Big Bang.
Music and mythology.
Einstein and astrology. It all started with the Big Bang.
It all started with the Big Bang.
Any fans of Big Bang Theory will recognize that song, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's iconic.
Yeah, especially the first couple seconds. But the song does continue. There is more to it.
Yeah.
So if you haven't guessed, we're talking about science. We're talking about today, actually, February 11th, is the International Day of Women and Girls in Science, one of the United Nations Awareness Days to help guide our conversation. And we have kind of an intro today, and then we'll continue different aspect of the subject for the rest of the month, and we'll see how that goes. And at the end of our programs, we're going to try a new section. I'm not sure what to call it yet. We have to think of a name for it, I think.
Yeah.
With some inspiring women, or some good news, or a fun fact, or something to kind of leave you on a high note.
Yeah.
Because we can sometimes talk about some pretty heavy topics here on Married Voices, which is important. Mm-hmm. We don't want to shy away from difficult conversations.
True.
But we want a little something to get us through the rest of the week, too.
Yeah, to light up the spirits.
Exactly. So today we're talking about women and girls in science. It is actually the 10th anniversary of this UN Awareness Day. And it's still something that we need to talk about because 10 years and there's still not really a solution. So the United Nations says closing the gender gap in science requires breaking stereotypes, promoting role models to inspire girls, supporting women's advancement through targeted programs, and fostering inclusive environments through policies and actions that promote inclusion, diversity, and equity. These three words, I don't know if you've picked up on this, at least in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
the words diversity, equity, and inclusion have mm-hmm. been a real controversy.
Yeah.
I think us here, and I'm going to assume if you're listening to Encuentro Radio, you're in favor of all of these things. Diversity, equity, and inclusion are things that we care a lot about here on Encuentro Radio.
I'm passionate about that.
And surprise to no one, the current president of the U.S. is not a fan of any of those things. The first day, he started attacking what these are called, DEI, Diversity, Equity, Inclusion programs, calling them radical and wasteful, that they unfairly give preference to minority groups. Let's note that anyone who has benefited from hiring based on their race or gender in history, it's been white men who have been hired, not for their necessarily qualities or merits, but because of their connections with other white men, especially cis, straight, able-bodied men. So these DEI programs were a way of trying to correct that bias, to make sure that we move away from that. And the U.S., unfortunately, is now going in the opposite direction and saying that these programs are unfair because people don't deserve those jobs, and it's compromising quality, which there is no evidence that it does that, all the contrary. But it's a topic that is pretty intertwined with today's topic.
Yeah.
There is still a significant gender gap throughout all levels of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, often called STEM. In the world, in 2022, a study found that 1 in 2 female scientists have reported experiencing sexual harassment at work. So even the women who make it in the field still face a lot of barriers, still face sexual harassment and things that no one should at work. No one should have to deal with those things. Only approximately 1 in 5 professionals working in fields like artificial intelligence. So this is like currently the cutting edge of science and technology, only 1 in 5 are women. According to MIT, in 2023, women made up only 28% of the STEM workforce. Internationally, it's a little bit different. That's 24% in the US, 17% in the European Union, 16% in Japan, and 14% in India. Other countries I don't know, they didn't include in the list. But it seems to be trending down.
Downwards. It'll probably be worse.
Like these are numbers from 2023, and so with the direction that the U.S. is going in, I suspect it will be different. the next time they update these numbers, I suspect it'll be different, unfortunately. So MIT says this disparity is concerning as it leads to a lack of diversity and inclusion, and ultimately limits the potential of the STEM industry. Addressing existing underrepresentation is critical as the world grapples with economic, environmental, geopolitical, societal, and technological risks. Closing the gender gap will not only bolster sustainable tech-enabled growth and innovation, but is also deemed an economic necessity. And these DEI programs that are being stripped away in the U.S. right now, not only the government, but then a lot of big corporations, once Trump wrote that executive order, a lot of organizations started kind of cutting that kind of language out of their policies as well. But these DEI programs kind of help adjust, they help address these blind spots that we all have. There are things that I've never dealt with. There are, you know, experiences that I've never had, barriers that I've never come across. So I'm obviously not going to know how to come up with solutions because I'm not even aware of the problem.
That is so true.
And that's why we need more diversity, people who have had different perspectives, different experiences, have overcome different things in life to be able to come up with solutions for those things.
Yeah.
I was watching a YouTube video a while back with a content creator who's also a blind woman, and she was talking about, in this particular video, talking about her guide dog, and she mentioned something that I had never thought about. About electric vehicles. Great for the environment, great that there, you know, more people are having electric vehicles, but they don't make any noise. They don't make the same kind of noise when you can hear that a car is coming. And so she was saying, well, thankfully I have my guide dog who's trained to not let me cross the street if they see a car coming, because I don't hear electric vehicles coming. So she's like, I think it's safe to cross the street because I don't hear any cars, and my dog is warning me that there's something in the way, and turns out it's an electric vehicle. Things like that, that, like, if you've never, that's never been a problem to you, certainly never been a problem to me, I wouldn't even think about it. I wouldn't even think of, we should address the safety concern for other people.
Sure.
And also in the medical field, you know, people are talking about how many of these different studies and medications and testing are done mostly on men, and how there's this, like, huge blind spot when it comes to women's bodies or the female body, or how things interact with your menstrual cycle, how, you know, different side effects, different things that people
and
are like.
Different diseases affect women as compared to men.
Exactly. Things that most of the scientists, most of the researchers, they weren't thinking about women's bodies because they've never had to, probably. And so these, you know, create big gaps in knowledge and holes in knowledge that having more diversity can help address, because you have more points of view and more perspectives. So having more women in STEM fields not only helps us get closer to achieving gender equality, but more people, and especially women, can benefit from their work, from their discoveries, from their findings. MIT, I thought was interesting, in this blog post, has some roadblocks or factors contributing to the gender gap in STEM, and a few strategies to help close the gender gap that I wanted to share. So the first contributing factor or roadblock they talk about is stereotypes.
Okay.
So the scientific fields have long been associated with this, like, quote-unquote masculine qualities. That they are male-dominated fields because men are more logical in their thinking and they're not emotional and
they don't have menstruation.
They are better at math than women and all of these things that aren't true. but it's these stereotypes that have long been around and discourage girls from pursuing education or career in the field in the first place. It reminded me of a riddle that I think we've shared here on this program in the past. And we've done it in workshops about, like, a man and his son, or a father and his son, are in an accident and they get to the hospital and the surgeon looks down at the operating table and says, I can't operate, this is my son. Have you heard that riddle before?
No.
No? So that's, I mean, an abbreviated version of the riddle, but the answer is that the surgeon is the mother.
Oh.
And she looks and she sees her son is the patient, and she's not supposed to operate. You're not supposed to operate on your family.
Yeah.
And the trick is that most people, when they hear that riddle, it takes them, like, embarrassingly long
to figure it out.
To figure out that a woman is a surgeon. Okay. And we did this last year in Boyacá in one of the workshops. Mm. And, yeah, people come up with all kinds of, it's a ghost doctor, or I was surprised when someone said, oh, they have two fathers. And I was like, okay, that's progress, but not quite the solution, not quite the answer. No, the father is actually, like, a priest, and so the doctor is the real father, or you get these, like, telenovela, like, the biological father versus the adopted father or the secret father. All of these people will stretch the imagination so far before they're like, oh, yeah, women can be doctors, too.
True.
And that just kind of highlights this bias that we have, these stereotypes of women and their professions and who we expect to see in certain roles. So there's unconscious bias in hiring, in promotion, in fundings. MIT also mentions a lack of role models, so underrepresentation in leadership positions and a lack of mentors and role models for women. One part that I found interesting, they mention work-life balance imbalance. And they say STEM careers can be demanding, and some women may opt out or choose to work part-time to handle family responsibilities, which can impact career advancement. I thought this was very interesting because I think they're missing, although with good intentions,
okay.
of talking about the barriers that prevent women from succeeding or pursuing STEM fields.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of, oh, they opt out or choose to work part-time to handle family responsibilities, I think is ignoring the fact that there's this whole societal pressure on women to be the main caregivers of the family, expectations that are on them and not on male partners, a lack of maternal or paternal leave, or childcare assistance, or, you know, that kind of flexibility. So I thought it was interesting that they kind of mentioned the problem, but in my perspective, still kind of missed the point. It's not just that they choose to work less to take care of their family. It's also that they're expected to by society more so than, like, fathers. Because fathers can also be stay-at-home dads and can stay home and take care of their family and support, you know, their wife's career or something. But that's not the narrative that we usually get, that we usually see. They did offer some strategies to closing the gender gap that address some of these issues. So things like encouraging girls to pursue STEM education from an early age to help dispel some of these stereotypes before they really form or get ingrained.
Mm-hmm.
And there are programs that we may talk about in a future program, like Girls Who Code, Black Girls Who Code, and Million Women Mentors that work to support especially younger girls as they're, like, showing an interest in technology, in computer science, in all of these things, to help kind of give them a supportive community and to learn from each other and be able to succeed, because there are often other environments where people say, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Girls don't do that. Black girls don't do that. Like, so to try to break that cycle and give them a supportive group.
Jeez.
There's also creating inclusive workplaces by identifying and addressing unconscious bias and fostering a culture of inclusivity with diversity and inclusion policies. Again, a lot of those are disappearing in the U.S., even though it's a strategy to close gender gap. There's also to promote female role models, so visible representation to inspire and encourage girls to pursue STEM careers. Organizations should prioritize diversity in their hiring and promote practices to increase representation at all levels of leadership. Again, things that are being discussed currently in the U.S. And some places, to be clear, have said, you know, we're sticking with our diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. And other places are following the lead of the government.
That's what I was going to say, because for some countries, they look up to the U.S., and then they're like, if this is okay in the U.S., then it's probably okay in our countries also.
Yeah.
So it's a tricky situation.
Yeah. The final ones are addressing structural barriers, so things like gender pay gap, lack of family-friendly policies, or gender bias in grant funding. And the last one is to encourage women to stay in STEM careers. So supportive environment for women already in the field, providing opportunities for career advancement and flexible work arrangements to help women that are in these positions to be able to continue and then to be able to kind of help lend a hand to younger generations of women who are in the field. That being listed, it's not easy to work.
It's not.
But those are some of the issues and some of the strategies to help that I found for today, International Day of Women and Girls in Science.
I really like the getting role models point, because the other day I was talking to someone. I don't really know this person. We just met here in Colombia, and I had to be like a translator for them.
Mm-hmm. Look at you, main translator.
Yeah. And then he was like, I'm working really hard because I also want to leave Africa and work outside of my country. Because when I look at you guys, like the GMS, because he knows a couple of GMS.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, when I look at you young missionaries working out of your comfort zone in different countries, I feel motivated to do something like that with my career. So then I was like, oh, I saw a strong model.
It's easier when you can kind of see someone who you feel like identifies with you or you feel reflected in. Mm-hmm. And then it makes it a little easier to like picture yourself. Obviously not impossible. You know, there are trailblazers and there are people who are the first to do those things.
Yeah.
But they have to overcome a lot of obstacles. But being able to see like, oh, if she can do it, I can do it. Is really inspiring and really important.
And also to have someone close to talk to about this kind of things, like ask how the process is, what is necessary, how it has been, like to get that perspective from close to home.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a powerful tool.
Yeah. Let's go to a quick music break, and then we'll be back.
Yay.
What's beneath? Is it stone cold under your feet? Are you numb? Can you touch? Is the silence a little too much? And all you wanna do is break out. So when you feel there's nothing, break out.
It's just science. Don't let it break you down. It's just science. Don't let it scare you.
We're back with our section that doesn't quite have a name yet. If you think of a name,
let us know. Appreciate it. Something fun, something creative, something out of the box.
Yeah, maybe next week we'll have something.
Yeah, we'll have a name for it.
But in the meantime, take it away, Michelle. Now that we know all of the inequality that is in the science field, help us feel a little bit better before we end the program.
Okay, so when I was thinking about what I was going to talk about today, I was like, it's an important day for women, and we're also in Black History Month, correct?
Yeah.
And then I was like, why not bring the best of both worlds to today's program? So I came with a movie, Hidden Figures, from 2016.
Love that movie.
You watched it?
Yes.
Awesome.
It's great.
Yeah, so I just thought it would be like the appropriate thing to share today, because it touches women and science and the Black women. But for those who do not know what we're talking about, I'm gonna share information with y'all. So the film tells a true story of three Black women mathematicians, Katherine Johnson, Dorothy Vaughan, and Mary Jackson, who worked at NASA and played a crucial role and the success of the Ellie Space missions. To get more context, I'll talk a bit more about these women, like in detail, like who are they, what do they do. So Katherine Johnson is known for her work as a human computer at NASA. Katherine's calculations were critical to the success of the first U.S. manned space flight, including John Glenn's orbital mission. And then Mary Jackson, she was NASA's first Black female engineer. Her work helped to break the barriers for women and African Americans in the field of aeronautics. And then lastly, we have Dorothy. Her surname is so difficult to pronounce. I'm just going to say Dorothy. We have Dorothy, a mathematician and computer programmer. Dorothy was the first Black supervisor at NASA of the computer programming for the agency. So basically, the film concentrated on these three women and like their stories and the struggles that they went through throughout their workplace. Like, I remember, for instance, I think it was Taraj P. Henson. There was a time when she wanted to use the bathroom, and they were like, there are no bathrooms for women here because we've never had female employees. And then she had to like to run over to the next building just to get a bathroom. And then there are also other themes, like how it vividly, like the film vividly portrays the system of racism and sexism that the women faced, how they were often segregated from their work, from their white colleagues, and had to use different bathroom facilities and dining facilities. I remember one of the ladies wanted to get into like an all-white school, but it was difficult because of her skin color. And then there was also like professional barriers. Like, despite their qualifications, these African American women, were often overlooked for promotions and had to fight for recognition and opportunities to contribute meaningfully to NASA's missions. So for me, I felt like this was something interesting to bring for our section, because it was like, it's a movie which touches these important things, and it did quite well in the film industry because it won like, I think, 5 awards. And it was praised for the performances, screenplay, and how the women excelled in their roles. Like Taraji P. Henson, I think she received about 3 or 4 awards for the film. And what I love about it is it's timeless. Like, you can even watch it today, you can watch it tomorrow, and it will still have that impact. So that was me for our special corner.
Yeah, I definitely recommend the movie if anyone hasn't seen it yet. And even I might even watch it again. I haven't seen it in a while. I remember there was a scene. I'm forgetting which of the characters it was, but mm-hmm. one of the women was talking to like their supervisor, who was a white woman. Mm-hmm. And the white woman, who was played by I think Kirsten Dunst, was like, you know, I'm not against you all.
Mm-hmm.
And Octavia Spencer's character, I don't remember who it was, yeah. But I remember the actress saying, I know you think that. And that, like, touched me in that, yeah, if you ask this white woman, she'd think, no, I'm not a racist. No, I'm not against people.
Yeah.
Even so, she's enforcing these racist policies. She's, mm-hmm. you know, enforcing these barriers that these women face. Yeah. And so it had me thinking of, like, how do we make sure that our actions reflect our values and our beliefs? Because I think a lot of people, you say, oh, no, I'm not sexist. I'm not racist. No, I would never do that. Mm. And yet their actions don't really speak for them. So I think it was, and I remember even, I think I wrote about that in my, I don't know if it was my application for GMF or I don't know, something, but I remember that scene particularly stuck with me. I was like, yeah, how do you make sure that you're, you can, it's easy to say, oh, of course I believe in gender equality, or of course I believe in racial equity, or things like that, but do your actions speak for you?
I know, and it's actually annoying that some people try to hide behind, like, company policies or mm-hmm. organizations, like, oh, it's not me, it's the organization, it's the company, so we just have to go with it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how can you say you're not a racist if you're following racist?
Right, you're enforcing, but yeah. You're still letting it happen.
Sense.
So inspiring women that you can continue to learn about this week.
Mm.
And more women like them. I think maybe we'll go to another song mm-hmm. and then say our goodbyes for our first program of 2025.
I was old enough to want it, but you're
What
is the name of the song?
Chemistry.
I just had to ask.
Chemistry by Semisonic.
It's so vibey. I like it.
We tried to find some science themed songs. I don't know if we'll be able to keep up the theme for next week because it was a dig to find songs. But we'll see. We'll see what we come up with for next week. Because unfortunately, we've reached the end of today's program.
Yeah.
Stay tuned, though, on Encuentro Radio. Amparo Beltran, the founder of Sepalc, is hosting an ecumenical program here. New program, so stay tuned for the first episode. Right after this.
And it's going to be in Spanish.
In Spanish, yes. In Spanish, it'll be, I think, every other week. Or cada quince, as we say in Colombia.
Every fortnight.
Yes.
I'm translating for you now.
So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Any final thoughts or anything you want to say before we sign off?
I just want to thank our listeners for being with us on the program today. And I actually saw something on Facebook that a friend is doing. Like, every week she's, like, making a post about someone who contributed to, like, the Black History Month. And then I thought it was very cool. So I think it could be something that people can do to, like, you know, look around it and be informed, because education is powerful. And just celebrate all those amazing people that contributed to the world that we have now, even though it's not so perfect. I mean,
it's a work in progress.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of work that's been done already.
True.
Yeah, thank you, Michelle. Thank you for anyone listening, either live or later in podcast version on EncuentroRadio.com.co. And tune back in next week, Tuesdays.
Yeah, we're now airing Tuesdays. Tuesdays, same time, same place.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next week, right?
Yeah, see you next week. Or we'll talk to you next week here on Encuentro Radio.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely week.
Bye.
You came home around 3.
You did.
If 6 of y'all went out, then 4 of you were really cheap. Yeah. 'Cause only 2 of you had dinner. I found your credit card receipt. It's not right.
Oh,
costó. ¿Quién se la